if you have your document. If not, I have a bunch of extra ones. So,
the Chicago Statement. Should they have this? Hold it up in your Bible for the next few months and bring it.
Okay. Today we're on the third segment of it, or Article 3, as it's called here. Article 3 states that we affirm that the written word in its entirety is a revelation given by God. Now that's a very clear, simple statement. It says simply that the Bible is the revealed word of God, given by inspiration of God. But there's a key word in there that's very significant to this document and to this Article 3, and that is the word entirety. You see, in the late 19th century and in the early part of the 20th century, there was the development of what came to be known as higher criticism in biblical scholarship. And higher criticism was the use of scientific and historical technology basically to rip the Bible apart, to test the Bible in terms of seeing whether or not it really is historically accurate. And the problem with higher criticism was not the scientific or historical activity as such, but it was the presuppositions of those who were doing the higher criticism. And that is, they were basing their ideas upon a non-supernatural understanding of the Scriptures. And so their goal was to discredit Scripture. So in this statement, they're affirming that all of the Bible is inspired, not just the parts that are acceptable to the liberal tradition there. So when it says higher criticism attempted to negate, or what we need to understand is that higher criticism attempted to negate the miraculous nature of Scripture and deny the futuristic prophetic understandings of Scripture as well. It taught that the biblical documents were in error, that they were mistaken, especially in areas such as science or history. What liberalism allowed for was selective use of Scripture. So the emphasis here on entirety is a critique of that, or an attack upon that form of liberalism. This means that one could look for Jesus in a different way by the liberals. They actually felt that Scripture did not reveal who Jesus really was, but that we have to look for the Jesus behind Scripture. A name that's very famous in this liberal tradition that you've heard of was the name Albert Schweitzer. Schweitzer was very much an advocate of this perspective. He wrote a book, a very famous book in liberal theology, called The Search for the Historical Jesus, with the emphasis, see, that the Bible does not reveal the historical Jesus, that we have to look behind the Bible to find who Jesus really was. We must sort through Scripture to find Jesus. In this statement, they are saying the Bible in its entirety is the revelation of God. And the second part of it, it says this: we deny that the Bible is merely a witness to revelation, or becomes revelation in encounter, or depends on the responses of men for its validity. There arose a movement actually against the liberalism, sort of a compromise position between orthodoxy, which what we would hold to, the orthodox view, the right view that the Bible is the Word of God, and the liberal view. And that is, in the 19th or in the 20th century after World War I, there arose a movement known as neo-orthodoxy. When I went to college, I got hammered by this perspective. I had no idea what I was getting into. What it was an attempt to apply existentialism to the understanding of Scripture. Actually, it was an attempt to hold on to some aspect of the Bible as having authority against the liberalism that was destroying Scripture in its entirety. What neo-orthodoxy taught was simply this: the Bible is not the Word of God, but the Bible contains the Word of God. The Bible, what they adopted from existentialism was this. The existentialists just very simply said this: the objective world makes no sense. What matters is the internal world, the personal, the subjective. Applying that to Christianity, it came out this way: the Bible is not the objective Word of God. The Bible is the subjective Word of God. It becomes the Word of God if, while you read it, you encounter God. If you don't encounter God, then it's not the Word of God. So it becomes a personal kind of interaction with God as you read the Bible. This statement, this denial, is a rejection of that view. We deny the Bible is merely a witness to Revelation. We deny that because we believe it is Revelation. We deny that it becomes Revelation in encounter. Whether or not you encounter God, it is Revelation. And it does not depend on the responses of men for its validity. It stands alone. It is the objective Word of God, independent of how men respond to it. And that's what's significant about this. It is rejecting that liberalism. It is rejecting the neo-orthodox view of Karl Barth, Emil Brunner, Paul Tillich, Reinhold Niebuhr, and the other neo-orthodox theologians that came out of primarily a German school between World War I and World War II. My college professors had studied under these men and had adopted that understanding. And it came out and manifested itself this way: Jesus, we would argue, rose from the dead historically, literally, and physically. My professors would say, what matters is that you encounter the risen Jesus. What matters is that resurrection is an idea in your life. No. We reject that perspective. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Amen.